It's time for the George Williams Show on FM Talk 106.5. George Williams, retired U.S. Marine Major, Vietnam veteran, retired federal agent, former vice chairman of the Alabama Republican Party, and world traveler, brings his wealth of information, sharing his thoughts on today's politics, and taking your calls and texts at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Hello, 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 everyone out there in radio land. I am George Williams, your host, and this is the George Williams Show. Folks, we're glad to be back on the air. I tell you, I'll give you everything before I go into what I really want to say. But anyway, our number here is 251-343-0106. And if you know anybody out of the listening area and you want them to listen, they can do it at over the internet at fmtalk1065.com. That's fmtalk, T-A-L-K, 1065.com. All right, folks, it's almost here, Christmas time. Christmas and New Year's time, folks. And, man, everybody's getting ready. I was at Walmart last night. My children, excuse me, and my grandchildren say that's my second home. And I was there, and I tell you, it was crowded. It was crowded. But I'm looking forward to it. I really, really am. And I'm not going to travel out of town. I don't like to travel, especially by air, folks, on these large holidays like Thanksgiving, Christmas, 4th of July. No way. No way. I may drive a few hundred miles. I don't mind that in the daytime. Take your time. And, the highways are less crowded than these airport when you get in those lines or the plane is late, et cetera, et cetera. So no way. Folks, my heart is heavy. My condolences to the McNeil family. Cliff McNeil is a former NFL receiver. He played for Cleveland Browns and the New York Giants. I first heard of him. I heard of him when he was with Cleveland. Then he went to the New York Giants. And I used to go and see him at Yankee Stadium in the early 60s, folks. Cliff passed away yesterday. And my condolences are to his family. I met Cliff when I came back to Alabama in 2006. And what a good guy. What a good God-fearing person. And I remember seeing him catch those balls when he was with the New York Giants because he was very fast, very slim guy, very fast. And Cliff told me he got a scholarship at Grambling University for baseball. And then he ended up playing football. And he did a good job because drafted by the Cleveland Browns, and he played around the same time Jim Brown did. He said, tell me some Jim Brown stories, good stories. And then afterwards, he went to the New York Giants, and he did a great job. And I remember him here. I remember seeing him on TV and watching him catch those balls. I think Y.A. Tittle was a quarterback, and Chuck Connolly was a quarterback, and he was fast. He is very fast. And when I came here and I met him, I said, holy cow, you're the same Cliff Brown that used to play for Cleveland. And I played for a couple other teams, but the New York Giants, yeah. And at that time, he was teaching school and in Mobile. And someone said he went to Blount High School. And so I used to talk to him all the time. And he used to come to my meetings because when I was the number two man in the Alabama Republican Party, senior vice chairman for 6 years, I started an organization called the South Alabama Republican Men's Club. And Cliff was a great member of the South Alabama Republican Men's Club. And we used to meet on the Crossway one Saturday a month. And Cliff, you know, he was a Republican. He was a Republican. He never missed our meeting. Never missed our meeting. And some of the stories he used to tell, really unbelievable. Unbelievable. But good stories. So I just want everybody to know how we're going to miss Cliff Robinson. And folks, in Mobile, we had a lot of professional players. Baseball, basketball, football. A lot of great players who came to Mobile, who are from Mobile. And Wallace Gilberry over there in Baldwin County. But when a player like that is gone, dies, you know, you really, really feel bad. And you really feel bad for the family, too. And so I just want to give a tribute to Clifton McNeil. Outstanding football player, outstanding person. And Cliff, I, matter of fact, I saw him about 5 months ago over in Mobile. And we're really going to miss you, Cliff. We're really going to miss you. And to the family, our condolences, because he was a great guy. He taught school after football. The career was over. He taught school over in Mobile, and I don't know how many years he taught school over there in Mobile, but very, very, very nice guy. Very nice. So, Cliff, we're going to miss you, and for his family, our condolences, and I will be going to his funeral. It's going to be sometime in January, first week in January. So, Cliff, we're gonna miss you, buddy, and for the family, I know you're gonna miss him too. All right, what else do we have? Ooh, we have a lot, folks. As you know, January the 5th, and that's not too far off, folks. That is the start of qualification period for all of those of you who want to run for office, and we're talking about just about every office. We're talking about the governorship, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, secretary of agriculture, all of those positions, and all of the congressional seats, and the, I think, one Senate seat, okay? That's Senator Tuberville's seat. And Senator Tuberville is running for governor. So there are going to be a lot of elections, folks, for next year. And so the opening season ends on January 23rd at 5 p.m. Now, after 5 p.m., folks, you will know who is the official candidate. Okay. Until then, don't believe everybody. You will not know. Some will back down, and then some new ones will pop up, and you say, "Oh, that guy or that young lady, they didn't say they were running." So some of them, and I've seen this, they will wait until 4:30 or 4 o'clock before they register and qualify. And it costs you money to qualify, folks, okay? I know the congressional seats are about $3,400 to qualify, and you have the other county commission seats and the secretary of state, secretary of agriculture, lieutenant governor, they cost you. It costs you to qualify. So hey, you've got to have some money. And then once you once you qualify, then you need money to advertise, to pay your staff, and to get out there and go to different parts of the state. If you're running for state office, that's hard. Let me tell you, that's hard. If you're running for a congressional seat, that's only in that area, that region, that congressional region. And we have seven regions, okay? Two people I really want to see lose their seat is District 2, Samari Figures, and in District 7, Congresswoman Sewell. To me, they're both zeros. They voted against the boys and men and women and girls' sports. How can you do that? Or the bathroom, you know, boys going into a girls' bathroom, men going into women's bathroom. Folks, we don't need them in office. Don't. Please don't vote for them anymore. Let's get them out of office. We'll be back.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
All right, folks, we are continuing on our mission. And you know what our priority is of that mission is? To get rid of every Democrat that we possibly can out of office, folks. And that is very true. I've heard that several Democrats are going to be running for governor, lieutenant governor, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know why. I really don't know why, especially here in Alabama. And, you know, you still can't believe it until the 5th of the 23rd of January, when the qualification period is over. Okay. One name that I heard who's popping up for governor is the former senator Doug Jones. I mean, that guy is truly unbelievable. I when Doug Jones was running against Tuberville, no, it wasn't Tuberville. It was before Tuberville when he was running that time. I was up in Birmingham at a meeting. So I went over by the stadium where they had the football game, and I saw Doug Jones.
The judge.
Yeah. Huh?
He ran against the judge.
Right,
judge
yeah.
Roy Moore.
Moore, yeah. I saw Doug Jones out there, had a truck, and he had all kind of paraphernalia out there. So I just walked over there, and he came over and shook my hand. He said, how you doing? I said, oh, great, great, great. He said, oh, you know, I'm Doug Jones. And I said, oh, you know, I introduced myself. And at that time, I was the senior vice chairman of the state party. So he said, you know, I really need your vote, and I would appreciate that you would vote for me and tell the other, you know, I know he meant tell the other black folks to vote for me too, but I just played ignorant, and he talked to me about his platform and what he was going to do, and I said, well, I can't vote for you. He said, why not? I said, because I'm a Republican, and I'm voting for Republicans. And you should have seen the look on his face, folks. I mean, he was shocked. You know, and that told me that he thought that all black folks in Alabama were going to vote for him, okay? And he was shocked that I told him that I was a Republican. And that's it. And you know, there are quite a few of us here in Alabama, and we're all going to vote Republicans, you know? And he was shocked. He said, oh, well, you know, to each its own. So that was my only experience with Doug Jones, you know? And it was kind of comic because here, because of my color, I'm one of those not what Jackson Jackson or Al Sharpton, what they say. I'm a black man, and I'm a black American, and I'm not a African American. I was born in the United States. My two great-grandfathers came from Africa, and my two great-grandmothers were Indians. And I don't use that Native American stuff. They were Indians. And both of my grandfathers married Indian women. And they were allowed to do that because, you remember, when they started bringing the slaves over, they were interested in strong men. So they started bringing the men in and not too many of the women. And as a result, the slaves were permitted to marry Indian women. And that's what both of my great-grandfathers did. My mother's father married an Indian woman, and my grandfather, my father's father, married an Indian. One was Choctaw. My father was, his mother, grandmother and mother were Choctaw, and my mother's mother and grandmother were Creek Indians. So I got hit with it both ways, folks, both ways. And that's what happened. And if you look at the censored records, you know, Civil War, the censored record had both of my grandfathers, and I found them in the censors. One was, they both said on there with the description, Negroes. And that's what they used to say. And for my grandmother and all their children, they said mulattas and mulattos. Mulatta is feminine. Mulatto is masculine. So all the kids and my grandparents were mulattas, mulattos. Okay, and that's how they describe the Indian women during that time, and it's very interesting because I remember my grandmother, who was was Creek Indian. I was about 14 when she passed away, and she used to tell me all about being an Indian woman. You know, the daughter of a 100% Indian woman. And on my father's side, they had passed much sooner because my father was a little bit older than my mother, like 13 years, you know. And so I remember my grandmother and grandfather, and I talked to both of them. So, and I have photos of them. And so I am not an African American. I was stationed in Africa for 6 years as a DEA agent trying to stop them from sending dope, you know, drugs into America. So that's the only thing I know about Africa. And I found out quite a bit. And people would say that, oh, the white folks went in there and they rounded up the Africans and they shipped them out. Folks, that is the farthest thing from the truth. Okay? What you have, and I'm telling you what the older Africans told me when I was over there for that time. Everything in Africa is tribal. Tribal. Like in Nigeria, you have 5 major languages and 257 dialects. Okay? And you have the Igbos, which is a Muslim group. You have the Igbos are a Christian group. And then you have the Hausas, which is a Muslim group. And you have the Yorubas. So these are all grouping. And what they used to do in Africa is the Africans used to raid each other's villages. And they used to kidnap some of the young kids out of there. And what the villagers started doing in order to identify their children 5 years from now, 10 years, they used to do what they call African markings on their face. And believe me, look that up. Look that up if you don't believe me. And each village or each region had a different marking. So I don't care if it's 10 years from now, somebody raided that village and took about, 10 or 15 young people. They can tell where that person came from by the markings on their face. They could tell. They could tell. So they call them tribal Mockins, folks. Tribal Mockins. If you look up tribal Mockins in Africa, you will see what I'm talking about. So that is what happened. And they raided it and tried to expand their villages and their regions. And they used to kidnap the folks, young folks mainly, and especially the male. And then they used to, some of the Arabs used to purchase these people and then send them out of Africa. And then they used to bring them to the U.S. and they would sell them to the folks here in America. So that's how you got a lot of Africans. And same thing in South America, in Brazil. You look at the lateral line, and they have a lot of Africans in Brazil. Okay, they came over from Africa. So that is how a lot of blacks came to America, came to the Caribbean, South America, and that's how these communities formed. That's how they formed. So that's why I say I am not an African American. I am an American. I will always be an American. But I can add a little bit more because of my grandparents' heritage on both sides. I am an American, black American, mixed with Indian. Okay? I can say that. And I'm proud of that. Very, very, very proud of that, folks. Without a doubt. So this is what America is about. This is what life is about in America. And unfortunately, our country is being destroyed. And as soon as the break is over, I'll dwell into that, folks, because I don't know what these illegals are doing and folks that are coming into our country. This is not the country that I know. Not the country that I've known for years. Things have changed, and we better put a roadblock up so we can save our country from these idiots that are coming in. We'll be right back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks, to the George Williams Show. And we are definitely on a mission. What else can we talk about? Well, one thing I like to talk about is illegal drugs coming into America. And folks, can you imagine how much drugs came into America under the Biden administration? Remember now, he had an open border. He was bringing in folks from different countries, flying them in from different countries without any way of knowing who the hell they were. That's what Biden administration was doing. So all of the drugs that came in, and we don't know because law enforcement was not allowed to do their job like they are now under Trump, okay? Look at all the drugs that are being seized now and destroyed, okay? And when I say destroyed, I'm talking about Venezuela. You know, I've worked that region, folks. I worked in South America for six years. I worked in Africa for 6 years. I know what's going on in that region. Okay? The government knows what's going on in that region. The Democrats know what's going on in that region, but they are lying. They're lying to you folks. They're talking about the boats that are being sunk by the American forces. Okay? I can tell you with 500% accuracy, and that's all I'm going to say, that every boat that is leaving shores over there, it's known what they're bringing. It's known where they're heading. Okay? And you look at these, you have the Democrats talking about, well, we don't know. It could be a fishing boat. Okay? Now, there's a big difference, folks, between one of these speeding boats, uncovered, with containers showing, with a few gunmen on it, individuals, who are being told to stop by our helicopters, and they keep going. When they refuse to stop, we blow their behinds up because we know what's going on. Okay? It reminded me of the Nigerians when I was in Nigeria. And the Nigerians were famous for swallowing condoms with heroin loaded in them. And when the, I can't give you our operation, but we knew who was coming over. And customs used to intercept them at the border, customs and DEA. So they just hold them overnight. And folks, they got to, it's got to come out. They have to excrete it out. Okay? And we used to advise our borders when I was in Africa that this person, that person would be bringing a load. And they would catch them. They would catch them. So I can tell you with accuracy that our people know what's going on over there and who's heading those organizations and where they're heading with those drugs. Okay? I can tell you that. And you Democrats out there, you hypocrites who are trying to get the Americans to stop, they're not going to stop, folks. They're going to continue. When you're in international water and there's a helicopter, a military helicopter or a customs or a helicopter or a Coast Guard helicopter or boats behind you, and they on the PA and said, stop, pull over, and you gun it. That's not a fishing boat, folks. A fishing boat is one that's built different, and they're waving to you or they're stopping. Okay? They're not putting, and a fishing boat like that don't have four big engines on it. These are speed boats to get the hell out of there as quickly as possible. Okay? And a lot of them are going to meet mother boats. But we're keeping an eye on the mother boats, too. So they can offload from those speeding boats, put it on the mother boats, and they come in here like they are fishing or like they're on a leisure trip. So you Democrats out there, I call you traitors. I call you traitors. You are ruining America. And I'm so afraid of what America is turning to. Now, look at the drugs that are being seized now in America. Okay? How did those drugs get here? Nobody's crossing the border. Now, Canada used to be an open border. That's why you have so many Somalians in Minnesota and up in those areas, because they come, they go to Canada, and they cross the border. And then here's what they're doing. They are conjugating in one area, like Minnesota, one state. And then they're doing these local elections. First of all, they shouldn't be allowed to run in election unless you're a U.S. citizen. Okay? So this is what they're doing. And then you have a governor like Waltz. Imagine now, this guy was running for vice president. He was running for vice president. He's not only in bed with the Somalians, he's in bed with the Chinese, folks. This man is dangerous. He's not pro-American. Waltz is not pro-American. And this is what you would have gotten if Samara, if Kamala would have been elected president. Oh, my God, what would America be? With Tim Waltz? Okay? And Kamala as a president. Can you imagine? God saved America. That's why Trump and Vance are in America. And look at what has happened on the Waltz with these Somalians. Billions of dollars, folks. Through handout programs. And that's what the Bidens did. These handout programs are nothing wrong with organized criminal activities. We're not just talking about a little money. Look at Stacey Abrams in Georgia, what she did. Her organization. They created an organization to get money. And hundreds of millions of dollars were given to her organization. She should be in jail. She should be in prison. These Somalis should be in prison, folks. They should be in prison. But yet and still you have Democrats talking about, no, these are innocent folks. Well, now they're not saying anything because they know that they have been discovered. Tim Waltz. It is unbelievable. And Minnesota is not the only state. It's not the only state. Look at AOC, what she's done. I think she married her brother when she came in to America, and now she's a congresswoman. Folks, we've got to change our law yesterday that nobody can run for any office in America unless you are an American citizen. That's it. That's it. Don't allow any of them. Because, folks, what's going to happen in 10 years if they continue under these Biden and Obama administration? What's going to happen? No. We've got to stop it. And look what happened in Georgia. They finally admitted that they have over 350 illegal voters whose vote was counted, counted in Georgia. Okay? So Herschel Walker and all of the Republicans who lost their election, I don't know how we can do it, but Whatnot should not be a senator. Okay? They cheated. They cheated. And poor Giuliani, who was a U.S. attorney and the mayor of New York. I mean, here a guy who knows the law. When I was an agent, DEA agent, my first duty station was in New York. And my first United States attorney was Giuliani. And folks, Rodolfo Giuliani did a fantastic job in New York. He allowed us to fight the mafia. the Italian mafia, the black mafia, the Jamaican mafia, the Russian mafia. I mean, fantastic guy. And when he became the mayor of New York crime went down. Okay? And you're going to take a guy like this, and you're going to treat him the way they did in Georgia after the election. And he called it. He called it. He said the election was corrupt. But because of these corrupt judges in Georgia, they ended up crucifying Giuliani and some of the others. So you folks, black and white Democrats, you better wake up. You better wake up. You think you have it made now? No, you don't. You got somebody like AOC running for, not AOC, Crockett, whatever her name, the black lady. She's running for senator in Texas. Yeah, Mandama, who is now the New York City mayor, a Muslim who hates America and who hates Americans, in my opinion. Okay? And you've got many, many Muslims in different local offices in America. Okay? And I'm just afraid. I am really, really afraid. Not for myself, but for my children, for my grandchildren. Because America has changed. I look at Paterson, New Jersey. I arrived there when I was 10 from Daphne. My mother, father, and there were 8 children arrived in Paterson, New Jersey. It was a red state. New York was a red state. Pennsylvania was a red state. Massachusetts was a red state. Then all of a sudden these foreigners came in. And the more foreigners, the bluer it became. Think about that, folks. Think about that. We'll be back after these messages.
Welcome back to the George Williams Show. Your texts and comments at 251-343-0106. Now, making the mission possible, here's George Williams.
Welcome back, folks. Our number is 251-343-0106, and we will continue on with our mission. Now, we're talking about illegal, okay? And illegal immigrants. But when you hear the local or the national liberal media, they don't say illegal. They don't say illegal. Why? Why won't they? When we have all of these folks in America committing a lot of crimes, okay? And we have these governors and these mayors trying to prevent law enforcement from arresting them and taking them out of here. Okay, I remember when I was a cop, before I was a DEA agent, and if we had an illegal, we would detain them and have immigration pick them up. There's nothing wrong with that. So why would a mayor now or a governor try to prevent the feds? We're law enforcement. We're supposed to work together, folks. We're supposed to work together. And why are they doing this? Well, a lot of the mayors are foreigners. A lot of the mayors are not Americans. Okay? They come in here for a while, and they run for office, and they win. And they win. Look at Mandami. Okay, they win, and then they control that city, And guess what? A lot of their relatives and friends are in their towns illegally. So what illegals like to do is to go where there are others in that area so that they can feel safe. Okay? That's what illegals like to do. And that's why you have so many illegals popping up in these cities. Look at the Mobile in Baldwin County. They're congregating here. Okay? They're congregating here. So we need more ICE agents. And they need to start picking up these Democrat politicians who are conspiring against ICE, against ICE, to take back these criminals, these illegals out of America. And folks, think about 2 years from now when the Trump administration is over and we're going to have a new president. We need a president like Trump, folks. We do not need a Democrat. Look at Europe, what's happening with illegals in Europe. Germany, England, Italy. They've let so many in until if they make a decision that's contrary to what these illegals think, they have riots. And guess what? We have them here. In certain areas, certain cities, and what illegals like to do is congregate in the cities so they have some shelter. Okay? They may have a mayor from the same country they come from. So this is what's happening in America. And you Democrats out there, I call you traitors. Yeah, Benedict Arnold, and you know who that was. Benedict Arnold, he was a traitor and a famous traitor. And they took care of him. They took care of him. And the worst thing about it is you have judges who are sitting on the bench doing the same thing, helping these illegals, trying to prevent them from being sent away from the United States. Now, from what I heard, ICE is trying their behinds off. But what happens is once a place is raided, okay, then you have individuals around here who are going into other states to bring those people back to that same location. That same location. You look at the Baldwin County Prosecutor's Office and some of the other schools. Well, once ICE came in and raided that, I'm hearing, and I don't know for sure, that they're bringing in other illegals from other states to take their place. We just don't have enough ICE federal agents to control them, to go back in there and raid again. And that's what you have to do, ICE. You have to go back. Once you leave, and after you leave, you take that bunch away. If another bunch come in, you know they're not legal. You know they're lying. Go back there and get that bunch. And then those who are hiring them, arrest them. Charge them. Charge those folks who are hiring these illegals. I know we were in 2010, we were going to do that. And the famous NAACP and the other organization, we passed it in the House and the Senate in Alabama. And Governor Riley was going to sign the bill. And the NAACP and a couple more organizations took us to court, federal court. And you know what Governor Riley said? It's not worth it. I'm trying to help you guys out. I'm trying to help the Alabama citizens out. But the blacks with the National Association for the Advantage of Colored People fought that. And I remember I talked to the head of the NAACP at that time, and I said, what's wrong with you guys? Governor Riley's trying to protect jobs for Alabama citizens. But they didn't give a damn, folks. They didn't give a, you know what. Okay? And they're out to protect black folks. Don't believe it. I used to be a card-carrying member for the NAACP. Once I became a Republican, I tore my card up because I saw what they were doing. What they were doing. I tore it up. And now, in my opinion, the NAACP, which is a National Association for Advancement, it should be for Democrats. They should rename the NAACP, National Association for the Advancement of All Democrats. Because to me, that's what they are. They are an artillery group for the Democrat Party. And I saw a commercial on TV the other day, talking about the NAACP, we're nonpartisan, and all you have to do is pay $11 a month to help us out. I said, are you kidding me? You're nonpartisan? That was a joke, but it was sad. Because you know why? Some people will believe that, and some people will send them $11 or $15 or $16 a month. Okay. No, don't send them nothing, folks. Don't send the NAACP anything, because they are not nonpartisan. They are strictly out for the Democrats. And I think that's pitiful. That is pitiful. Because the NAACP was started by a bunch of whites. Okay? So this is what's going on, folks. This is what we've had to look at, and this is what we have to stop. We have to control it. So if anybody talk to you about NAACP, don't believe them. Don't believe them. They are surrogate for the Democratic Party. That's my belief, and I will continue with that belief. This is what they are. So, folks, until next week, Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry, merry, merry Christmas. And hopefully you get all of your gifts that you want. And you have a blessed Christmas. And then we'll see you next week. And that following week, New Year's will be here. All right, folks, we got to get out of here. Until then, Vaquan Dales, everyone.